Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. We're in the AI4 Model Y, and we are on a new software version, another version of 13.2. We're up to FSD Supervised 13.2.8. And honestly, I have no idea what changed. The release notes didn't change again. We did see the 8S testers out driving early last Friday morning. And today is what we got, Tuesday. Yeah, so we're Tuesday, and we got it yesterday on Monday. So basically, it went through employees and crunching over the weekend and got deployed on Monday afternoon. So I'm just going to do the Memorial Park drive. We'll get out and see what we see, see if we see any differences. The placebo effect is probably going to make it an N of one type of experiment, but let's get her going. I just want to show you, I am here on the curb again. So I'm right on the curb, just like a robotaxi should theoretically be pulling over. My tires are on concrete, but you can definitely see the Vision Park Assist. I've done this test on the beginning of a few different drives. So let's just go ahead and start the Press FSD to start, and we'll see if it is comfortable pulling off of this curb here. That's kind of where we are, trying to show you the curb. Object and path detected. The steering wheel is definitely turning. Come on, feel confident. I don't know how to. I guess I'm just going to keep doing this. I don't, you know, it should just be able to pull out. I mean, I'm on concrete. You can definitely see a line there. I mean, yeah, I can give it a foot. I can pull over even more, but this is where I'd be pulled into a parking space if I parked well. I'll just give it a second here. The wheel has kind of stopped turning. Okay, I'm going to give it the pedal of encouragement. So here we go. There's the pedal. And now it's got, I just tapped it and pulled my foot off. So now it stopped again. That should have been enough. But see how the bumper back there says it's near take over to proceed. I'm going to tap it again. There we go. Okay, that's what it needed. It just needed two nudges today. Yeah, so we're going to do our right turn here, do an unprotected left, go straight to the U-turn. I have to tell you, you know, I really wasn't very motivated to come out and test this version. I was kind of amped up for our 13.3, really working on the second half of that, up-and-coming list. We've had that 3X model scale and all those improved context link things out there teasing us for so long now. Anyway, here's an unprotected left-hand turn. Let's focus. I didn't really feel much of a NHTSA stop there. Kind of slow rolled it all the way up to the edge here. Few cars to wait on. It's a wide gap from the right. I have not seen on any of the driving I've been doing any sort of S or even any stop into the median recently. So I think they've taken the median technique out of the model somehow. So I don't know. It feels like they gave up on going to the median. Maybe the homogenized model for Hardware 3 and the Cybertruck, it was just too hard to train it that way. So they kind of just said, no, it's got to be one maneuver because that one maneuver will be safer. And I don't disagree with it. It just feels like a punt a little bit because humans don't do it that way. humans go to the median and they wait for the traffic from the right. Okay, U-turn coming here. That car on the left is now out of the way. So now we're choosing gaps on the forward camera for this U-turn. And we got a very large gap here. So I don't expect to see any issues here on this decision. And it should, as long as it's smooth and not jerky, with the right commit, nice. And straight in the middle lane. That was good. A good U-turn. Don't have any problems with that. Obviously, this is what I'm going to call low traffic again. I'm not even calling it medium, even though that first unprotected left turn had a little bit of a weight on the traffic from the left, but it didn't have any weight on the traffic from the right. So what are they doing? What do you guys think? I've been driving FSD for 4 years now, and FSD 13 is great on the Model Y. This didn't have any regressions for me. A lot of people have seen some regressions. So they're out there. So they obviously had something to fix with regards to, I've seen some, just a little glitch on my screen there. The screen, I think is, the screen modification, I think is wearing out. driving into the opposing lane, I've seen some video clips of that, mostly in rain and scenarios like that. So there definitely are some lane selection issues that we're probably needing ironing out. And that's my only guess is something along those lines. But the fact that they've released this version, almost, I'm not going to say wide, but these versions are rolling out broader than just a handful of people. Excuse me. It's going out to at least dozens, maybe more, which is good. And it's going out to Hardware 3, Cybertruck, and Model Y all at the same time. Sorry, I got a little bit of a frog in my throat. So that is probably our biggest clue as to what's going on here, is this harmonization of the build numbers across multiple platforms has to be what's going on. The fact that hardware, okay, here we got an unprotected forward-facing left with a fast-approaching car, but as long as it didn't slow roll it, that was going to be fine. That was a very good turn. No problem with that. Solid. With that fast-approaching car, I was worried about a pause that would have made the gap shrink, but it didn't do that. It continually rolled, which shows good awareness of its trajectories of the other cars. So back to the build number. So the build number is the exact same with regards to the branch we're on. The hardware version is called 13.2.8 on the AI4 cars. Small gap here, no problem there. And on the Hardware 3 cars, it's called 12.6.4. Notice the redbud tree here on the right. There's another little squirrel. The redbud tree is a very significant indicator of the beginning of swarm season for the honeybees here in Jacksonville. So if you live anywhere, the redbud is a indicator of the beginning of your season, because the flowers know. Any case, so the build of 12.6.4 on Hardware 3, marrying up with 13.2.8 on the Hardware 4, is all I noticed that's going on these builds. That's the most consistent thing I've seen. The release note's not changing at all. It's frustrating, but obviously probably what they're doing is in the tweaking of the model stage, right? And just trying to make it work on all the different platforms at the same time. And I wish I knew a little bit more about how they're fixing bugs. You know, obviously they're probably not pre-training everything again. It's probably some sort of fine tuning. I don't know that. I'm speculating. But to be releasing these on new builds, I don't know. Maybe they're seeing a behavior and they're like, gosh darn it, we must have one video clip that's still in there. We got to go find it. Ah, there it is. And they pull that video clip out. And maybe they retrain. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. It's a little bit of a mystery. But the cadence has definitely changed. Okay. Here we are on our unprotected left-hand turn into the center turn lane. And we have a lot of traffic here. So tiny little gap here, and it's not going, which probably means it's waiting on traffic from the right again. Okay, wide open to the left, wide open to the right, so it should go straight through, and yeah. So, once again, waiting for the left and the right at the same time feels more like that's its plan A, and I use plan A as a specific word there, because like any good plan, things can happen, and the plan can change. So, I don't know why we just got a FSD could be degraded. It is a clear, sunny day. The only thing I can think of is our B pillar is looking straight into the sun on the left-hand side, and maybe that's a sun degraded. It feels like they're softening or dumbing down the models a little bit on some of these behaviors to be more generic. It's not as risky is not the right word. It's not using some of the advanced techniques that they were working on earlier on some of these other turns where it was using the center turn lane or the median. But the confidence on the Model Y just feels solid. It just feels like it knows what it wants to do and it commits. The Cybertruck, still kind of lethargic. I have not driven the Cybertruck on 13.2.8 yet, so I shouldn't comment on this build. Okay, once again, we jumped into the left lane here on this road. Not sure why it chooses that. I'm still in standard mode. And we're missing the school zone timing. I think we missed it by 10 minutes today. The school zone lights up here are not flashing. So it should maintain speed here without any issues. Yep, so continuing on, no slowdowns. We're going 43 straight through the school zone. So you guys have seen those clips before right here. It drives straight through and slows down. Every time I've had it, it's almost had a lead car to take clues from, but the flashing yellow definitely gave it a behavior before. Okay, so that was good. I don't have any issues with that. The release notes having that upcoming features section almost at this point is becoming disappointing. I almost wish I didn't know that those things were coming, because we have had point release after point release after point release on this 13.2, and it just kind of had that carrot out in front of us each week as we get a new build. And the builds have been fine, average. I guess maybe they're trying to iterate on all three of these branches at the same time, so they're on somewhat of a parity for what they're capable of. And it might be a simplification process. And this could all be the headwaters of going to autonomous in Austin on the Cybercabs in June. We did have a couple verifications and reaffirmations of those dates of June in Austin, and I believe Franz has even used the word cyber cab, which does imply it's going to actually be the robo-taxi cyber cab doing some of these drives, maybe in addition to Model 3s and Model Ys, I don't know, but the use of cyber cab does imply that they're going to have some of their prototypes out there giving rides. I don't think we're rolling cyber cabs off of any sort of production line yet. Don't know if that will be the case by June or not, but Joe Tegmeyer has definitely seen them driving around the Tesla a lot, doing that driving down there, but I don't think anybody has seen anything on public roads in Austin, even with a chase car or anything. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not going to say it can't happen, but the longer this 13.2.8 kind of rolls out, we're getting towards the end of February, coming up on March, and we still don't have that context length edition. And I didn't get the impression that those upcoming features were feature complete, ready for robotaxi. I kind of had in my mind that 13.3 or 13.4, whatever that would end up being, was going to kind of round out, and then we were going to spend some time on that working maybe towards 14, which was going to be the robo. And maybe that's still the plan, but it feels like that timeline is compressing the longer we spend on 13.2. And especially since I don't really know what we're tweaking on 13.2 specifically. It's just kind of navigating upriver a little bit. I don't know. You guys can probably tell my frustration a little bit, and not necessarily excitement like I have on a new build. Even to the point of almost not even getting in the car and turning on the camera. Sometimes I drive the cars a lot. I like, what it does. But I don't make videos just to make videos. I try to make sure there's something to say, something new to see, to show everyone that doesn't have access to it, or perhaps is in another part of the country, what is in this release. And I'm sitting here talking, and I might have missed my smoothness transition here. Full self-driving could be degraded again. Did you see that? That was almost identical to the last one, right after I edited the route. I wonder if that could be something new. That could be the system being aware of a change in route while FSD is engaged. What do you guys think about that? You got two situations. Roll back and look at it. Both of those degraded messages happened right when I was deleting a point and the planner was rerouting. It was a tiny little degraded message. It's almost like the system's letting you know, hey, I'm changing plans. Unlike the degraded messages I'm used to, means something can't see, or the weather, or the cameras are blinded. Maybe that's not the case anymore. Yeah, I have not had any pay attention to the roads yet. I wonder if they're loosening that up a little bit here. I don't know. Let me stare on the screen for a little bit. There's one potato, two potato, three potato, four potato, five potato, six potato, seven potato. Hey, oh, pay attention to the road. So seven again. It seems like I remember that last time. Let me go ahead and edit this route again while I'm thinking about it. Now let's watch the degraded message again. I'm deleting that waypoint. Done. Oh, look, it is. It's exactly what that is. That full self-driving may be degraded is a transition message in the planner rerouting. That is new. And at least the consistency of that is new. Which actually gives us something to talk about a little bit. Because you know, the planning changes, getting over early enough, you know, and now, ooh, that was a really good one. It was going to change lanes, and then this little purple car was kind of racing around. It kind of nicely paused, turned its blinker off, and now it did its own lane change. A lane change at 72 in standard on the 65, so it's very aggressively doing this. All right, let's do a phone test. One potato, two potato, three potato, four potato, five potato, six potato, seven potato. Seven potato with my phone, too. That feels a little lenient. I'm good with that. I mean, that feels about right, you know, having that amount of time. All right, here I am, 0.6 miles getting over. That I like that lane change. That was nice and early. I'm sorry about my voice today. I feel like I got a little something in my throat that's making my voice sound a little bit different. Okay, so coming up on this lane change, I want it to stay here. This lane is the best lane, and it's been doing that for a while. Oh, he's going the other. I heard another vehicle making a lot of noise, so kind of being passed. That was good. Stay here, and we're on our way. It looks like we might have some traffic coming up. I see this on the traffic map down there. Yeah, so we're going to get some stop and go today. See how this goes. So if the degraded message is coming up while the planner is changing plans, it feels like either that's just a new message for something it already knew, or now it's more aware of its, I don't want to say directionality, or its plan. Right? Before, it was just going to kind of keep doing its thing. And, you know, there were sometimes it made lane changes, and you're like, well, that's not what the planner said. I wonder if they've tightened up the vision to the planner in this build to the point when the planner doesn't have a plan, it warns you, oh, I don't have a plan for a second. It would be interesting to see. We have some emergency vehicles on the left-hand side. No identification with the assets at all. You just see the vehicles there. So quick little use case there. Nothing changed. Red lights up ahead. I'd be hitting my brakes now. It's putting its blinker on, getting out of the left lane. Brake lights. Now it's slowing down. Okay. That was good. I mean, I knew the traffic was coming. It should have known the traffic was coming. It didn't necessarily react as soon as I would have, but it didn't react unsafely at all either. It'll be interesting to see if it stays in this lane or if it jumps over to the left in standard mode. I imagine it's probably going to stay here, but. And we'll just do this. So we got a couple miles of this, and we'll just see where it goes. So back to that thought. So if the planner and vision is more tightly integrated, or the latency has been reduced to the point that we get a message saying it might be degraded. I don't like it using the exact same message that it uses for the other things, because that was confusing to me. Back to kind of UX design. I mean, I know you have a degraded message, but you need a little bit more information if you're going to show it to me at all. But it's its first iteration of showing that. So, yeah. I don't know. So, it's a it's a beekeeping season here in Jacksonville. Those of you that follow me on X have probably noticed I've been putting out a lot of beekeeping videos. That's because I've got things to kind of put out. And, oh, by the way, the releases on FSD have been pretty slow. The wrap on my truck has been holding up great. I'm really happy with that. Those of you that have been asking questions about that, I'm all pumped about that Cybertruck wrap. It really, really came out well. Saved some money for sure doing it myself. I learned how to, you know, wrap a car for the first time. To the point that I'm starting to debate. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. On this Model Y, which has got this beautiful Quicksilver paint, I'm wondering if I should do a PPF on the front bumper or things like that. I don't want to wrap this whole car, but I wonder if I should do a clear PPF just to kind of protect from rock chips on the highway and things like that. Do you guys advocate that? Those of you that have done it, interesting scenario. He's getting over. We gave a little bit of a left turn to get around. That was perfectly fine. You can even hear him. I don't know. I'm assuming you can hear him. He wanted to get over in that right lane to motor on and show us his muffler. Yeah, so what else happened? So last night, I didn't stay up for it, but I played with it this morning. So Grok 3 came out. And, I love the way they're just so... what's the right word? You know, I don't know, off the cuff, I guess, on the release. I mean, that was as low-key of a release of a Frontier model as I've ever seen. I mean, I know the OpenAI teams, they kind of sit around a table with Sam and they chit-chat and they show some demos and it's kind of, I don't know, office-y. That X release looked like, you know, four dudes in a table. Really, low-key. Obviously, Elon has been pretty busy recently in Washington, but he made his way to with the XAI team. I'm assuming he was in Memphis and was in person with those guys, and I'm proud of him for being there in person. Obviously, his time is very busy, but being there in person for something as important to that team as that, I think was a nice gesture for him to be there to support them. And obviously, these models are getting so darn good. I don't know how to interpret those benchmarks. You know, I think you can make a presentation and showing yourself against benchmarks kind of look like however you want. So I don't really know how to critically analyze them. Some of them I didn't see the 03 model on, and some of them I did see the 03 model on. So the kind of the front runners were in there on some of them. Yeah, it's good to see DeepSeek R1 on several of those benchmarks and where it lied. And then the fact that, you know, you can make it think longer on that one graph that showed that, you know, if you let Grok 3 think about it and then you let it think even longer, it has even higher scores. That was an interesting little concept there. But I guess to make, you know, I opened it up and I used it on X and I started saying, hey, do some things. And then I went to Grok.com and I felt like Grok.com is where I needed to be. It feels like the X implementation of Grok is a little different. Maybe it's designed for the kind of the platform of X and asking questions about news and people and posts and things like that. Whereas Grok.com felt a little bit more like the ChatGPT kind of use case where you have the web and multimedia. The first thing I tried, it couldn't do though, like some other models can't do either. I tried to upload an MP3 file and do a transcript and it doesn't handle MP3 files yet. Natively, it said I could upload an MP3 to a sharing site and it could access a link, which to me is confusing. I mean, I guess it's using its multimodal capability of the web versus perhaps natively uploading a file. There's probably those of you that understand why that's easier to do or better way of doing it than perhaps uploading a file. Maybe it's about storage. Maybe they're saying, hey, I don't want to access that file. I just would rather stream it. And I didn't go through the file transcription once I realized I needed to put it on a Google Drive and create a share link and then try it. I just kind of moved on to another thing. But I did start an academic research into a project I'm proposing to the state of Florida for my master craftsman beekeeper certification. I'm already a master. I'm trying to go to the next level of master craftsman. And I have to do kind of an experiment in the apiary with bees, and I'm doing some research on some insecticides that are good for certain insects, but not lethal to others. And there's one called chlorantraniliprole that's used in golf courses for fighting beetles. And there's a pest in the apiary called the small hive beetle. And it is pretty destructive to bees if you get a weak hive. And there's this chemical chlorantraniliprole that is pretty effective against beetles, but is very safe to bees up to a pretty high dosage. So anyway, I used Grok to do some basically PhD level research on this chemical, the academic papers that are available, at what dosages do you have a lethal concentration or an LC50. Grok did the math, it did the dosages, it did some suggestions. I said, well, I'm already trying this and I would like to try that. And it came up with some good ideas. So I'll have to say my first kind of, I'll use deep research kind of test was pretty good. Now, it didn't create a OpenAI or a Google style deep research paper, you know, with documentation. So that's not what I was talking about, but it did have the ability of searching the web, finding reference papers. There was this one paper that is published by this one doctor at the University of Georgia, Dr. Lewis Bartlett, who I knew had done some work on this. And I was asking Grok if it knew about Dr. Bartlett's research on small hive beetles. And it looked and it looked and it looked, and it was certain that there was nothing there. And then I gave a link of Dr. Bartlett's paper on the internet. And it was like, ah, I see you found it where I couldn't. And it was pretty humble in its ability to recognize that I showed it something that it didn't have access to. But once I gave it the link, it included that research paper in it. So these models can still, of course, very confidently convince you that something is so, when in fact it isn't, and you need to verify it. And I had a short conversation with someone this morning about how these models are getting so good and where we are on using them in everyday tasks, and how they're going to fit into our coworkers or our families' lives, our kids' lives, and how they use them. And to me, this feels like kind of the calculator moment for me. You know, when I was growing up, there was this big hullabaloo about using calculators in school. You know, you can't use calculators when you're learning long division. You can't use calculators for doing, you know, your tests. You have to show your work. And while I do know that made me better at being able to do long division, I don't know. I don't think knowing how to do long division is relevant anymore. I think it's important to understand the concept of division, the concept, the abstraction of it, but doing the long division and, you know, carrying your decimal place vertically and showing your divisions and knowing your multiplication tables and everything in order to do the math right, it feels like a waste of time. And I think that's where these large language models are kind of getting with research and writing and if you're a PhD student and you're writing a dissertation, you know, the work I did in 30 minutes on chlorantraniliprole was probably what would have taken you the entire first year of your doctoral work is getting that research down and having references and knowing what work has already been done and to build on that. I feel I did that in 30 minutes today. Just kind of like, you know, long division might have taken a long time before, but I punched it in the calculator. It happens. So I think we need to get our mindset into how these large language models are going to fit into our lives, but yet it's important to understand how to use the information and understanding the abstraction of what it's doing so that as humans, we're more productive. Okay, so the large language models are getting better, and we just need to teach our kids and our schools and our everywhere how to use this information effectively so we can continue to do more. Yeah, you know, get further in our research, because we didn't spend all the time in the research phase. We spent more time in the experimentation phase or in the creative phase, thinking of alternative tests. Maybe where you might have done one test, you now can do five because you've got much more time. So, you know, I think that's where it's going in my mind. It's a tool. It's not going to necessarily replace people needing to do creative work, but it's definitely going to save time on a big piece of it, so that you're not starting from zero. You're starting from a further point up the knowledge chain. You know, and I do think that translates, you know, to what we're sitting in right now, right? I know many people thought, oh, we're going to get Grok, you know, in our car today. You know, I can press this you know, and say, are you Grok yet? And that's right. Do you know who Grok is? It thought I said Grok. So, see, this interaction isn't quite there yet. But to think that this interaction with the car could have access to the conversational Grok large language model context, I mean, we've already got premium connectivity as an option. So those fetches to the internet should be, okay, we got some traffic here, turning left. I'm just making, yeah, this is gap. It's going to be fine. We're almost to Memorial Park and we'll do our backup test. You know, this interaction, this interface is just ready for large language models to have a conversation with or to add context to the driving directions, to change the route. Hey, I'd rather go this way, not that way. Hey, you know, can you use the fast lanes? Hey, switching between these modes and things like that. It feels like a, just a natural extension of what has always been manual in the car. It doesn't need to be manual anymore because we're going to have the ability of these models to take us further and to save us more time. Okay, we're here in Memorial Park, and you can see FSD ended here. We're in drive, so I'm going to just come up here and demonstrate that this is the same. I'm going to go ahead and do a different P. We'll hit a park there. You can see the chain. It's setting up in the parking stack to do the exact same thing. I do have a car behind me, so it's going to be... Okay, yep, it's backing into the chain. So we're not going to do that. We're going to go ahead and proceed from our destination and continue on our way. I'm just going to keep doing that. I didn't expect that to be fixed, but I don't know. Do you guys find that useful? Do you keep wanting me to do that backup test into the chain? I know it's going to be there unless they put a, I don't know what they would call it, you know, on a release note. But at some point, the vision acuity has to know things like that are in the way. Or we got to change the ODD so that the driver knows, be careful, you can't, it doesn't do this, right? Right? You know, we've got to set the operational design domain so that it's relevant. You know, don't let a cyber cab ever try to park. Okay, we got a biker here. Very good use case. She saw me. It stopped in the right, night to heat, stopped in the right spot. That VRU was handled very good and it was dynamic. That might have been a scenario where that biker would have continued to roll, but I didn't have the slowdown vector he wanted until we kind of came to the stop. It's stop sign. Okay, I'm clear left. It's got a small gap to the right and it's going with a nice commit. No problem there. So that was good. That was several good scenarios there, and I didn't have to touch the wheel at all. The VRU, you guys can scroll back and look at it, but it didn't feel like it slowed down for the VRU as much as it slowed down for the stop sign, which was going to give the VRU, the biker, the right of way. That's what it felt like. It wasn't like it was stopping early. It was kind of proceeding to the stop sign, which was going to give him the room he needed. Does that make sense? I'm trying to use the right word so it makes sense, but... All right, we have a flashing yellow yield here. And now we have a VRU that's crossing. So now I couldn't go if there was a gap. You can see the VRU, the pedestrian there rendered correctly. And then here's going to be our yellow proceed gap. Yeah, nice pre-roll there. Good. That was good. Okay, so what's our cul-de-sac scenario going to look like? We are going to... This isn't even a test for the Model Y anymore. This is more for the Cybertruck, where the Cybertruck can't reverse. You know, Cybertruck's release notes still say, you know, upcoming for park, unpark, reverse kind of stuff. So it doesn't do it yet. So let's see where it decides to park today. Just got to stop right here. Well, what are you going to do? Okay, you decided to park right here. Okay, press and hold. Let's see what it does here. Forward. Is it going to give itself a good radius? Yeah, it's got that one. There's no cars here in the way, and the turn radius is good. Oh, interesting. I think it could have made it. But look at it. Nice. Kind of proceeding cautiously with that pedestrian there. Yeah, he's giving us room, and it's just going slow enough that if he jumped out, it could stop. I think he was he's just walking next to those vehicles. He wasn't getting in one, but now its speed is still acting like the VRU's there. Maybe it's just being cautious around these cars, because it said, well, if there's one pedestrian, there could be another. Maybe it's something like that. Okay, our next intersection is the Kobayashi Maru of 5 points, to where I've kind of set it up for failure, but it's always fun to see what it does each time. So we'll continue to let it go and do its thing. And then we'll head back towards Avondale. So back to the LLM conversation with Grok 3. I tell you what, listening to what they did with that data center, to me, that's almost more impressive than the model training and the model's behavior. I feel like, yeah, Grok 3 is maybe as good as, you know, O3 Mini High. I didn't feel like they necessarily crushed it. I don't know. I don't think it leapfrogged them as much as those graphs made it look like. I don't have the benchmarks to say it, but the way they were kind of hemming and hawing around it and the, you know, comparing itself to GPT-4o, I'm like, I don't use that as your benchmark. That's old. You know, if you're just reaching GPT-4o, you know, on your models, then that's not much to brag about, I guess, today. The rate of progress is definitely something to brag about, but not as far as saying you're in the lead. And maybe it'll be Grok 3.5 or something like that, that, you know, they'll continue to accelerate on this pace and pass OpenAI for sure. If they haven't already, I'm not sure they haven't. To me, it felt like they're proud of what they did. It's a really great model, but the benchmarks are on par of the frontier models is kind of what I took out of it. You know, I'd really love to have, you know, Grok immediately available in Cursor or Windsurf and these other tools, you know, for coding. Because I tell you what, that's where I'm still struggling with these models. And believe it or not, Claude Sonnet, you know, 3.5 is still kind of the best model for implementing a functionality through tool calls, function calls. And interesting. Okay, so I'm pressing accelerator, did a human kind of intervention there. It was, he had the right of way. I took the lead and he's like, fine, if you're gonna do it, do it. But then the car stopped. Okay, so now it's pulling over again into one of these situations where it just kind of pulls over but doesn't honor the lines. So if I can show you here, see, I'm kind of on the line on the left, and I'm not on the line on the right. It did this exact same thing, exact same location last time. So now I'm navigating to, let me go to Biscotti's, and then let me edit trip, add FSD return, and then we're going to hit done, and then we're going to press and hold once it's got its route. Okay, so now it's got a backup, and I'm just looking in the camera with it. Car is coming there. Looks like a small gap, another car coming there. I don't have a really good visibility, so I'm just using the cameras, and the car is coming out. Ooh, kind of took that one, didn't it? It asserted itself, and he waited, and that was fine. So that behavior was below average. So in other words, it sort of treated it like everybody had the same right of way, but that car that was proceeding that we ultimately ended up stopping for after we were in the lane of traffic had the right of way. to me, that's what it looked like. Anyway, I pressed the accelerator. Ooh, interesting. So this truck is unpacking here. He's in the center turn lane, so he's not really blocking anything, but it presented a different scenario, I guess. So far on this drive, the exact same disengagements have happened. The very beginning of the drive won't pull off the curb. Backs into a chain link fence that it's just not ready to do yet. And then the 5 points intersection, the randomness of the cars interacting with us, but, you know, kind of pulling over in a non-parking spot way. So it's not using the parking stack to kind of identify pull in diagonal parking spots, which you can't do in the parking stack now. It's just kind of pulling over. I'm glad it's pulling over, and that's great, but it's been doing that the whole time on 13.2, I believe, is when that was first implemented. So, all right, so now we're heading down towards Biscotti's, which is part of the kind of return trip of our FSD drive that we've had for a long time. I'm not seeing any jaywalker there. I did feel a slight reduction of acceleration when he crossed there. That was good. I was kind of accelerating there, and then as soon as that jogger crossed, it just slowed down a little bit. Probably couldn't see that in video at all. Not seeing it dodge potholes, anything like that. Manhole covers, nothing like that. It's just kind of behaving the same there too. What do you guys think about these LLMs and going into the car? A lot of people were thinking that we were releasing this the same time as Grok because Grok was going to be integrated. I feel like we're a ways from Grok. Maybe inside the Robotaxi they'll have it. I just don't think we're that close to that type of integration. Even something as small as the degraded message coming up when the planner changes route now just kind of shows the tightness of this FSD model and how far away it might be from like the voice assistant. And the voice assistant is probably a completely separate part of the software, probably not part of the model at all, probably just completely separate stack for voice, because it definitely has not improved. I can't tell you how many times it doesn't know what I'm saying, or it misinterprets a word. Didn't understand what Grok was. I think it typed work. Granted, my voice isn't perfect today, but we could try that again. Do you know who Grok is? Okay, it actually got, I enunciated a little bit better. It just said command, not understood. But it did get the word Grok that time, so that's good. I don't know. What do you guys, do you think that the size of the Grok model, even if it's Grok Mini, so let's just say Grok 3 Mini gets down to a tiny little size. Do you think it's just plug and play with our voice assistant? I mean, today they talked about Grok 3 voice being a few weeks away, and some folks on X have posted about how elegant it was to chat with. You know, I have voice conversations with ChatGPT occasionally, but I haven't been able to, like, I don't know, have a talk with it. I mean, it will talk with you, but for some reason, it's just not quite. It still feels like a web search or like a search tool that I'm giving voice prompts to. Maybe it's the latency that happens, and it might even be my phone and my headset and Siri's implementation or the Bluetooth integration to the phone and the app, and then that latency and, you know, is it listening? I don't know. Maybe I need to do more testing of that and just, you know, walk around the B yard and have a conversation with ChatGPT or soon to Grok voice of questions I might have that I want to think about. Normally I've got podcasts in my ears. I'm listening to other people talk, but maybe I should have a conversation. Do any of you guys do that? Do you guys talk to these models to just chit chat? I don't know. They could probably be good therapy if you really wanted to pour your soul out and get some stuff off your chest if you're by yourself in your car. It's probably an amazing use case, honestly. Large language model therapy. Obviously, there's some risks there, especially if you have some serious issues you're working through that need the help of a professional. But I don't know, if you just had a bad day at work and you want to bitch about your boss to somebody that's willing to listen, it might be better than your partner to talk to than maybe somebody at the house or on the phone. Okay, I need to edit my trip here again. Here I am talking about therapy. Okay, did I get it in time? Did we get our degraded message? I don't know, I didn't see it that time. But it has replanned our route. See if Avondale gives us any challenges today. It looks like we got all green lights and no pedestrians, so. Well, he's kind of backing out over there. Didn't flinch at that, he's on the other side of the road, but. See this pedestrian sign with the flashing yellow? Sometimes those flash only when there's a pedestrian. Sometimes they flash all the time. You know, I guess depending on the one across the street isn't flashing. So I don't know why that one was flashing. But it didn't behave any differently at the flashing one. Had a lead car to take a hint off of, though. I don't know, guys. The Model Y drives pretty good. There's another red bud for you beekeepers out there. I mean, obviously, it's got some issues that some of you are reporting. It's not perfect, but the Model Y is solid. It's not a robo-taxi yet, I can tell you that. I mean, there are many times it takes me from point A to point B, but it's not ready to take me out of the seat yet. I don't know how we're going to get those numbers that we need to say it's ready for robo-taxi. I mean, like, if one person posts a clip, does that bust the numbers, or do they get to collect their own data going, no, it's you know, on average, it's getting this many miles. I mean, obviously, they've got the data, but they've never really shared the data, so we really don't know how it's being calculated. I mean, I can empirically measure it's getting so good that there are times I can say I don't need to be here. I still like to talk about my bell curve graph. Once I'm on the road, yeah, it knows how to do it most of the time. Definitely when there's no traffic. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe they need to shut down Austin, no traffic, and it would be a perfect robotaxi, no doubt about it. But if you put any people out there, especially people that want to fuck with you a little bit, sorry for the language, if somebody's out there wanting to be malicious, that's an interesting thought. You know, all these people damaging and putting, you know, bad things on their Teslas because of the political situations going on right now. That's very sad. Hadn't happened to me yet, thank goodness. That's sad that people are defacing other people's vehicles because of, you know, their political, perhaps, beliefs or frustration. I mean, granted, people are getting laid off from the government, and there's a lot of frustration out there, anger at some of the things that the government efficiency team led by Elon is doing that creates a lot of this hate. But to take it out on your neighbors, to take it out on the people in your community, that's wrong. That's criminal for sure. But, you know, people have been doing criminal things a long time. I hope I don't come victim to that. And, you know, in San Francisco, we've had, you know, a Waymo has been damaged a long time. And, you know, and that's not because there's political issues there. That's just because people are taking advantage of a car with no person in it and just kind of saying, you know, I don't like you. Okay, we have a green light and we lost our arrow. So we've got to yield to people on the other side that might, and we got a lead car. Again, also kind of cheating for us. Feels like the light might go red before we get a chance to go. I think the Tesla would be in the intersection. You see how this Cadillac is kind of waiting there? He's waiting in the spot that I might not get a chance to go. Is he going to go for it? He's taking it now. Is the Tesla going to aggressively follow? I think it will. Yeah, see, that semi was going slow enough that it had an easy end. Worked out just fine. So my point was, just with the timing of the mood kind of towards Tesla by some people right now, to the point that they're defacing people's cars, what's going to happen to the robo-taxi in Austin? You think they're going to be vandalized? Yellow light up ahead. Yep. Deceleration. This is one of the scenarios when I see a light way up ahead, I start just kind of take my foot off the gas, and it sort of did that. There's nice smooth curve there. No issues with that. But I don't know. I think if there were robotaxis in Austin right now, for sure, it feels like the climate is such that there would be some vandalism. I hope that this fades by June, somehow, some way. June's not very far away though. And I think it could get worse before it gets better, honestly. So that could be an interesting variable of the deployment. It'd be interesting if it could even delay the deployment. I don't think so. I mean, if they delay the deployment, it's not going to be because of that. It'll be about the timing of the model. It'll probably be end of June too, right? It's not going to be June 1st. If it's on June 1st, that would surprise me. So we'll be talking in the summertime, kind of seeing how they do it. a lot of people are starting to speculate. And I know Sawyer and Gary and a lot of folks, you know, throwing out the first half of 2025 lower cost models were on track. And they reaffirmed that in their statements, the last earnings call. And what does a lower cost model mean? Sawyer put out there a poll saying that, you know, does it mean a cyber cab with a steering wheel, or is it a completely different model, or is it a dumbed down Model 3, Model Y? And there was not much consensus on what it meant. And I think Sawyer was even surprised how high the robotaxi with the steering wheel was, mostly around the language of what a lower cost model meant to Tesla with regards to using part of their new manufacturing process and things like that. So I don't know. What do you guys think a lower cost car means? If they're going to release a brand new vehicle in the first half of this year that we know nothing about, it's obvious that they've been using the CyberCab as a distraction from something completely new. A few of the shareholder decks in the past year or two have definitely had a few other vehicles that were underneath a sheet that could be one of these vehicles. So I don't know. First half of 2025 is, you know, over at the same time the Robotaxi launches. So there's a whole lot to happen kind of in this near term time frame as we kind of get into the end of the first quarter next month with only one quarter to go. And back to kind of my initial rant, complaint, I don't know, sour puss mood about still being on 13.2.x and here we are on .8. God, I hope this is the last point release on 13.2. I hope you figured it out, Tesla AI. This drive is a good drive. I mean, to me, it's the exact same as 12.2.7. It failed in the exact same points, which were not fair tests for the drive. I mean, I knew it was going to fail on those. You didn't have any indications that it would do that better. So I'm not complaining about that. But to me, I can't tell what was fixed on this training route. My son, who drives in the panhandle of Florida, is absolutely convinced that his Hardware 3 model, my old Model Y, he's got it now, just does not drive as well in the little town of Milton, Florida. Unprotected forward-facing left, a small gap here, medium gap there, fine. Didn't have our scenario there because that truck was in that left lane, so it couldn't have gone in the wrong lane if it had wanted to. Yeah, so I'm going to give that another good score. It did good. So to recap the drive, if you want the TLDR, 13.2.8 feels the exact same as 13.2.7 on my 1 hour first impressions drive. So thanks for all of you that stuck with me on this and made it all the way to the end. I love hearing from you. If you watch these videos, leave me some suggestions if you know how I can do it better. And have a great day, everybody. Hope you all get it soon. Talk to you later.